come from Genesis 6, 13 through 15. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be built 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Our second reading is going to be from Exodus 3, 1 through 6, and then 11 and 12. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush was on fire. Although the bush was on fire, it did not burn. So Moses thought that I will go over and see this strange light and why the bush doesn't burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. God said, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the Father, I am God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The word of God. So, what brings you here? Is Jesus calling you? Sometimes I wonder why I'm here. Have any of you ever heard a voice? And what is your calling? Can you mark it in your calendar? Could you stop what you're doing and start something new because of a dream or a voice asked you to? Have you ever seen a miracle in front of you that you just can't explain? We read that God spoke directly to Noah, and God told Noah to build an ark. And Noah did build the ark the way God wanted it built, to save what God wanted saved. God also spoke directly to Moses and told Moses to go back to Pharaoh and lead his people to freedom. Moses didn't doubt that the voice was from God, but how did Moses respond? Moses asked, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Moses said he wasn't worthy of the great task that God was asking. In Matthew 4, 18 and 19, Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said, hey, come follow me. and I'll make you fishermen, fishers of men. In John 1, 42 and 43, we read, Jesus looked at Simon and said, you'll be called Peter. Not only did they stop fishing and follow Jesus, Jesus changed his name. And for whatever reason, Jesus changed other names of people. But could you stop what you're doing to follow a stranger that came to you and then changed your name? Would you do it? Could you do it? 5 or 6 years ago, because of the church, Steve and I got involved with the ISI program out in Princeton. It's been very rewarding. But this past year, I was talking to someone that was there, and he told me he was saved on a particular day. And for some reason, it stuck with me. I don't really remember the rest of the conversation, just the fact that he could pinpoint when he was saved. I also remember Rich talking here about how the Lord came into his life while he was in college. So, 20 years ago or more, if somebody said that I would be here in church almost every Sunday, in the bell choir, a deacon, an elder, and now here on the left side at this podium giving a sermon, no way. It would never happen. Not that the things I was doing 20 years ago were all that bad, but I certainly was enjoying life, doing a lot of crazy things. So I would never believe that I'm here. And yes, I'm here for the first time, and I'm nervous. I'm worried about what I'm going to say and if I'm going to stumble, and I'm anxious. I've talked before about being a kid. I'm the youngest in a big family, and I'm the youngest grandchild in an extended family. About sitting at the kiddie table for Thanksgiving and someday wanted to make it to the adult table. But here I am here. What is this? What if you heard a voice asking you to do something? Again, would you do it? How do you know God is calling you? As we learn about the chapters in the stories of the Bible, prophets, God's wishes, Jesus, and the start of the Christian church, is it something that you're drawn to? A calling to learn more? Is it to explain to others what you get out of it? To help others? To stop what you're doing and help on something just because you think it needs attention, that it needs your attention. I don't know if I'm saved. I'm not sure what that really means. I haven't heard a voice, seen a dream or a vision. I hear people talk about a drawing or a calling to the Lord. Maybe it comes easy for them to do this. But for most, it's very hard to speak out loud about Jesus or your religion. The history of this church is great. And my interest in history is something that I've had for a long time. And there have been some who've been standing here in this spot for over 200 years, giving speeches. And I think they must have wondered to themselves what caused them to get up here out of their comfort zone and talk about God. There are people in this church that love the idea that this church has been here for 200 years and many want it to survive even more. But we all need to work on it together. And since I've joined this church, I've worked on being a better husband, a better father, a better employee, a better person, and yes, a better Christian. And I'm very thankful that God has given me the ability of labor. Yeah, I said labor. I'm thankful for the labor that I can handle. Setting up the tents at the 4th of July service is one of my favorite times of the year. The nativity scene that's out front, Peter's Pantry, the Shadfest fish pond, the Shadfest itself, it's a lot of work out front. The stage that we made for Peter when we did the show this past year. And yes, please say a prayer for everyone that goes through that hole in the roof and the balcony. So, as I'm here learning and hearing others talk about a calling, I'm not sure what that really means. Now, the sweat of labor is something I am definitely used to. The sweat pouring out of my hands right now, I don't know. And I am definitely out of my comfort zone. But I feel the want to be here in this spot. And maybe if I'm up here, someone else might think that they can get up here and give testimony about how you feel or question about God or the Bible. Is this a start of something new for me? Am I at the beginning of this? I don't know. Is this being saved? Or did it start when I was born? Do I really understand what I'm doing? I don't expect to actually hear a voice, have a dream, see a vision, or witness a miracle. Do any of you? Have you? Do you know when you've been saved? Going back to being thankful for the labor. And like I said, setting up the tents and then the nativity scene, the 4th of July, the cross that's over here. If you feel the need to at any time, it's set up so that you can put a nail in it to hang your sins or to think about God. Please do. And again, say a prayer for people to go through that hole. Because it's pretty intimidating when you get the ladder out to reach up. But I'm thankful for the labor, and I enjoy it all. And I hear the stories of the wonderful things that this church has done and provided for this community for a long time. Yes, I've skated in the gym as a kid, played basketball, and was a Cub Scout. And I want to thank everybody in this church who did labor. I hear beautiful music in this church and people who speak about God, Jesus, and the stories of the Bible trying to help us live a better life. There are times that I wonder, is this God driving my focus? Why is this my interest now? Who am I that I enjoy the labor, the creativity, the chance to step out of my comfort zone of just being a spectator? In Matthew 7, 24 and 25, be thankful the Lord our God has given us the ability to labor for our own good, to be able to build shelter on solid ground using his love and word as a cornerstone, to believe in him and understand his word. A few years ago, Pastor Gregory asked anyone if they wanted to go down to the river and be baptized, to walk into the river on their own free will and be baptized At the time, I didn't. I don't know if I'm ready for that. But I wonder if he would do it again. Maybe I would. Am I ready to do that? Would that be my cornerstone? Is that the calling? To be willing to accept what's in the Bible without actually hearing God's voice. But to believe in faith and not to be afraid to love God. To give hope that there's more than life than on this earth. To build a door of eternal life with Jesus if you choose to. But it starts with believing in Jesus. I encourage every one of you to step out of your comfort zone, find your calling, and share the word of God and the love of Jesus. Not because you need a favor from God, but because God needs you to spread the word of God, to share his stories of the Bible. There are all kinds of people out there looking for help, guidance, and something to believe in. I guess I didn't realize I was one of them. Remember, Jesus didn't hang out with the righteous. He sought out sinners. And less are willing to walk into a church for whatever reason. We really need not to judge people outside. And we shouldn't expect others to live by the way we think God wants us to live. Live your life and share the good news. Maybe plant that seed and they will find that calling for themselves to search out the Lord for themselves. I'm not sure if this is my calling, but if it is, I enjoy the labor, the friendship, the challenge, the word of God, and the love of Jesus. Amen. If you could please rise.